This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today's topic is help. My kids want to play sports. I can't wait to start this session today. But before I do, I want to thank our sponsors, and that is MediaAngels.com. You can visit MediaAngels.com on the website and find out more about creation studies, our novels, as well as classes that are ready to go. We also have some great parenting books. There's a book, Secret Code Time, that is really a wonderful book on how to build relationships with your children. You'll also want to check out our Science Fair Handbook, an insider's guide to successful science fair projects, as well as teaching science and having fun. And one thing you may not know is that all our books come in ebook format. That's right, you can download it today. So go to MediaAngels.com and find out more about books and products. Well, today I want to talk about the topic of kids playing sports, and there are so many nuances to kids playing sports that I didn't know when my kids first began. For example, I didn't know the little shortcuts like getting a bag that is just something I can grab on the way out of the house ready to go, or the best stadium seats to purchase, or even where to get them. I didn't know how easy it was to freeze a bottle of water the night before and use it as ice in a cooler, or how to keep some staples on hand to ward off against whatever might come my way. So in this podcast, it's about some of these shortcuts and more, all in a nutshell. So for the last few years, I've been sitting at a baseball and softball field, mostly near my home. My two oldest kids played sports occasionally. They were not really interested in pursuing it in any way, shape, or form in college. So it was more recreational on their level, which was really fine with us. And it was interesting because my oldest two played when they were younger, but my third child didn't really have any interest in sports. He started playing soccer when he was 4 or 5 and decided he didn't like that and really didn't want to play any sports at all until he turned 9. But that child did play through high school, and he is now a coach at a private Christian school. So you really never know. And so this talk is not only for the parents, but also for the kids, to keep them in mind as I'm sharing today and helping to nurture them along with, reminders that this is a lot of character building that's going to be going on, as well as, learning to find out what their interests are. One of the things my husband likes is for the kids to play a variety of sports, and it's really funny how certain kids have done well with that and others just really gravitate to one sport. So for the first two, the oldest two, Christina and Neil, they both liked basketball, and there was a wonderful homeschool league that supplied all the competition we needed. It was fun and it was safe. They had some wonderful Christian godly leaders. They prayed before and after games. They weren't berated. Their character remained intact. And for both of them, it was a wonderful opportunity. However, the other three were interested in baseball and softball, and unfortunately, there wasn't a homeschool team. And so they played Little League happily for many years. In fact, we were pretty happy with the entire process, the fairness, the coaching. The fact that my husband did volunteer on occasion, really did help. He didn't play daddy ball, and let me give you a definition here of what that is. Daddy ball is where a dad or a mom has a player on the team that is related, and he plays favorites. And usually, this isn't a problem. except if the child can't play well. I've never heard anyone, pitch a fit because someone played their kid who was an awesome player. But usually if the child is struggling and the father or mother continues to play that child in lieu of putting someone else in that's better, then there's going to be grumbling in the stands. I have tried as hard as I possibly could to stay out of any of the complaining, second guessing the umpiring or the coaching, and just sitting back and kind of taking it all in and observing. And for those of you who followed my podcast, this is, after all, podcast 91, and where there will be some show notes for you on some of the things I'm talking about, as well as a list of things I'm going to give you, a must-have list for moms to print out and, keep handy for those many sporting events that you'll be attending with your children. I'm not usually one to just sit back and let things slide, but in this case, I have to admit, I was pretty much out of my element. I never played sports in school. I was more in the artistic and creative vein, if you will. And, while I was a leader in some things like clubs and that sort of thing, I didn't have any opportunity to, play in any athletic things until I got to college. And when I was in college, I played some intramural sports. I played basketball a little bit. I played softball, but I really was not an athlete. So because of that, I think I sat back more so, and I was an observer, and I was able to learn quite a bit to the extent that I've put in probably at this point over 20 years sitting at some sporting event. And, at first I was very hesitant, pretty angry that it took so much time away from our family. But I've learned so many things along the way. And I've learned that there are some things that our kids can walk away with that are really character building things. And let me explain a little bit. One of the reasons that my children were encouraged to play sports is because my husband did. And he went to college on a full scholarship. And so because he played baseball and is a very good athlete, he's a natural athlete, he felt that that was important for my kids to play some sport. And it didn't matter which sport to him so much as that they got good and continued to improve on whatever sport they decided to play. So the first two played basketball, and the last three have played, the boys have played baseball. My daughter played baseball until I believe she was probably about 10 or 11, and then she switched over to softball. But again, we've been pretty fortunate. And the times when one or more of my children were passed over for a less athletic person, I've used it as an example of spiritual growth for them. And, I've explained to them, the Lord knows. He knows how you're feeling, and all we can do is pray, because there are certain things that are really above and beyond our ability to control. And so this was one of them, getting to be selected for a better team or getting to be selected for a better position. So, it built their character. It brought them closer to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not perfect, and I've expressed my disappointment to my children at poor coaching, but never have my husband and I yelled at our kids about missed balls or something they could have done or anything like that. In fact, one of the things that my husband asks the kids, for example, if my daughter missed a ball out in the field, he would say, what were you thinking when that ball came? And so he would help her. I'll walk through the process. The same with my son. What were you thinking when you were up at bat? And it's really interesting because this year my son had a wonderful baseball coach on the travel team that he played on. And this young man, young to us anyway, played 14 years in the major leagues. And he did the same exact thing to the kids. He would ask them, what were you thinking? And he would get them to look at the process, see where they were having difficulties, and help them with solutions on how to get better. And I thought that was such a great thing that finally there was a coach that coached the same way as my husband did. So, you know, parents, we can use sports to nourish our children's lives, but not to squelch them. And so while I was a reluctant sports mommy, I have learned so many different things now along the way. And I look at, you know, how my husband has worked very closely with all of our children. And this is their one really strong connection. And they're connected in a different way with sports than I'm connected to them. So their dad's connected in a way that I could never compare to, nor would I want to. And that is, he understands the game, he understands the process, and so he can help them, you know, work through some difficulties and get better. And when they're having problems, they talk to their dad or they ask him to come and look at what they're doing and that kind of thing. And it really has brought them really close. On the other hand, I'm the big supporter, I'm the big cheerleader. I'm not very vocal, I'm not one of those screamy mommies, but I am, you know, as supportive as I can be. You know, of course I'm clapping and yelling, but I'm not, you know, one of those moms that's always yelling out everything. One of the things that's my job is to take video of them so they can look at how they're doing. I only started doing this when they played high school. So that way they could look at, like, for example, if Mike's pitching or Ann's batting, how they're doing. I don't take a lot of game in the middle of the game pictures other than them up at bat and Mike when he pitches. So as not to be, you know, intrusive. And it's something that they want me to do. In fact, the times I've forgotten to take video, they've asked for it and I haven't had it. So now I know it's something that's part of my job. The other part of my job is to, you know, be supportive and make things flow as best we can with our schedules. And so one of the things that we've done is we put up a big family schedule, which we've had anyway, but that way all of the games and the tournaments could be put on that. And it's really helped a lot this summer. The summer is the first year that both of my children have played on a travel team. And as the word denotes, that means we're out of town. It's not at this level and in high school. It's not like, you know, once a month or twice a month like it was in the past when one or the other played. But it's every week. So we were blessed because Mike's team was out of Fort Myers, whereas Ann's team was out of Orlando, which is about 3 hours, 3.5 hours from where I live. So there was some juggling to be done, and we had to reanalyze and look at how things were going to be working out for us this summer. And at first, I'm going to tell you, it was a little bit rocky for me. I don't like to be so scheduled out that it's difficult for me to do anything else, but this was something that was important to our family, important for the children to play where scouts could possibly be and see them, as well as to, you know, contact some colleges. And I'm getting ahead of myself, and I'll talk to you about that a little bit later. So actually, this is a two-part audio. The first audio is, you know, help my kids want to play sports, and the second is help my kids want to play sports in college. So in this audio, I'm going to cover three things. I'm going to cover the basics, the rules, and good sportsmanship. And in the next audio, I'm going to cover the advocate and college recruiting and scholarships. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that upcoming. And knowing me, I probably will add something to the other audio that's not on the list. But anyway, this is audio number 91 on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. And you'll find the other audio, audio 92, on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Well, before we get started with the basics, the tools you need for the game, we're going to take a short break for a commercial, and we'll be right back. Have you seen the mini expo sets from Media Angels? Now, your favorite audios are bundled in easy to transport and listen to episodes. These audios are smaller groups of seminars that focus on a particular topic or help you to get the help you need fast. Are you feeling overwhelmed? Listen to our mini sets and get the boost you need. Easy to download to an MP3 player or computer, and you are ready to go. Download this and use the sets in your car while waiting for the children at practice or anytime you are folding laundry.
These sets are comprised of the best from the Ultimate Homeschool Expo Library. Be sure to check out the mini expo set link on the MediaAngels.com website. Blessings are in store and help is on the way. Brought to you by Media Angels Publishing, a name you trust.
My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another labor of love is a three-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American History and an American Government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at MediaAngels.com. Thanks so much and hope to meet you soon.
Well, hi and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz with Vintage homeschoolmoms.com, and this is episode 91, Help My Kids Want to Play Sports. Well, today I'm going to be covering the basics, the rules, and good sportsmanship when it comes to sports, no matter what sport your child is playing. So let's start with the basics. You know, how do you prepare for the game? And so, you know, you as a mom need to get some things underway, and that is a very important thing. I'm going to tell you that it has been game day and we haven't had clean uniforms, that I haven't had food to take for lunch, or I haven't had, you know, cold bottled waters or even a cooler with some water and ice for the kids to take. So I've learned that we have to be prepared and have all of our stuff ready to go, or, you know, it's not going to make for a very pleasant experience on game day. So to begin with, when your kids are younger and if they're playing intramural sports or they're playing Little League, usually what you can expect is two practices a week until they get started, and then you'll find, you know, that they'll let you know the schedule, and that's just something to keep in mind, that you're going to have some evenings, early evenings, or weekends that are taken playing sports or practicing. So just keep that in mind. The other thing that you'll want to remember is that keeping the kids as well organized as you can is going to be helpful. So you don't have to start off with really expensive equipment. When the kids are little, you know, good tennis shoes or whatever, if you're playing basketball, they don't have to be, you know, super fancy or anything like that. And, you know, soccer, of course, you're going to need, you know, soccer shoes or cleats, and the same thing with baseball and football. Of course, you know, you've got different types of uniforms and things like that. But, you know, the biggest thing is to give them some sort of carry bag that they can put all their stuff in. Even when we have the uniforms and things like that, we try to get one drawer that's just cleared out just for that. I had a little plastic bin that I had in their closet that I would put all their socks and shoes and their socks and pants and shirts in, so that they didn't have to scramble and look for them. And so, you know, these were some things that I kept organized when they were little. When they got older, by the time my two
Last two kids out of five were playing sports. They were responsible for their own uniforms and keeping them clean. I will have to tell you that my son is the hardest one to keep up. You know, he doesn't keep up with it as much as he should, but we've had those days when his uniform isn't clean. But anyway, you know, that's the kind of thing that, to keep in mind. And the great thing is, as far as sales go, to look for things after season. Now, you can't buy shoes, especially for those growing kids, but you could buy the next bigger size of, you know, baseball pants and things like that and just keep the tags. We had to go get another pair of pants right in the middle of season this year because he slid and ripped them, and it was too much damage to keep playing with. But I found that we had to pay full price for them, and those same exact pants now are half price because baseball season's over here in Florida. I know seasons are different places, and so here our baseball softball season starts at the end of January. Different places, they're going to start different times. Obviously, you can't play in the snow if you live up north. And so we have a harder time playing in the dead heat of the summer. However, it does work out for us fairly well because our kids do keep hydrated and things like that. So, okay, so you've got your kids all organized. They have some kind of container, you know, or drawer in their room where you keep their stuff. And then they have a carry-on bag, you know, or a, my kids liked those drawstring bags to just keep their stuff when they were younger. They don't need the big rolly bags or any of the big expensive stuff, you know. If they play on a team at some point, my kids have all played on all-star teams. A lot of times those teams tend to buy the kids things like helmets that all match or bags that all match and that kind of thing. So, you know, the kids are going to get some of those types of supplies as time goes on. And so you'll want to keep that in mind just so that you're, you know, keeping an eye on your budget. For the mom, and this is the biggest thing I had to learn. And when I learned this, oh gosh, it made life so much easier. I finally came up with, you know, this bag, and I had, you know, different bags through the years, but one I just use, it's just like a plastic shopping bag. Mine's actually a plastic one I actually got at a store, and it's very, very durable. It can be wiped off really easily. I don't care. It's not cloth. So I don't care if I'm putting it on a stadium that has that red clay on it and it can get stained. I can wipe it right off before I put it in the car and, you know, things like that. So in my bag, I have a list and I have a printable for you. So just look for episode 91 on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com to get the list printed out. And I'm going to go through it really quickly. And then at the end, I have some things that I star because these things I mostly used when we played tournaments. You didn't need them as much for just the weekly games. So in this bag, I kept all these things. And it was really great because I could just pick it up and go when it was time to go. So the first thing, because I live in Florida, of course, is sunscreen. But almost it doesn't matter where you live. If it's out in the sun, that's an important thing. And the other is some sort of a bug spray. I use a homeopathy blend now that has essential oils. And I'll put that little recipe for you and tell you what that is, you know, in the notes. But you can use, you know, whatever it is you want to use there. I always kept blankets in my car. Don't laugh. even living in Florida, we would be sitting out. Ann's games were typically first. So we were sitting out in the 80, you know, 85 degree weather. And then we would have to wait an hour or so before my son's game started. And then while we were sitting there, you know, the temperature could dip down for another 20 degrees. So you're really hot from the sun and then you're shivering cold. And we would all laugh and take our phones out and look at the weather and just laugh that we're sitting there freezing in 72 degree weather. But your body temperature just drops. So, you know, light blankets that we would keep in the car and all of these things I had, you know, in those big plastic bags that I could take the air out of. You can buy them at the store. They fit in there very nicely. You zip it closed and then you roll it and it takes all the air out so you can store it flat in the back of your car. And I kept things like a windbreaker. That was one of the best things I ever kept in there. And one of the windbreaker I actually have is from one of my son's travel teams. And even though it's the emblem is the old one, it doesn't matter. That's just the best windbreaker ever. And I also had a shirt, and I don't normally do name brands because of sponsorships and everything, but I am going to swear by the Columbia shirts. I have one that I bought on sale 5 or 6 years ago. They are very expensive, and that shirt looks like it's brand new. It has been washed multiple times. I can put it on in the summer, and it keeps the sun off of me, and I'm cool, and I can put it on when it gets a little bit cooler, and it keeps me warm. And I just, love that it does that. And I also have the dry wick shirts. My husband likes the cotton shirts, but they do show, when you're perspiring, any kind of sweat marks. And so the dry wick, it doesn't. It wicks it doesn't absorb so that, you are going to be feeling the sweat running down your back at times. But that has worked really well for me, and that's just something I wear. So in the bag, I have some sunscreen and bug spray, and I have high energy bars. I use the 15 grams of protein or something that is high protein in case the kids get hungry. I would put in things like rolled up paper towels. I would just take a paper towel and just pull out some and just roll it up and put it in a bag. I had an emergency kit that I had, and it had things like Band-Aids and ointments and a little thing that for stinging spray. A lot of times you will find all kinds of interesting bugs. Out here we find a lot of wasps, so you want to be careful of that. I had a pair of small scissors in case I needed it and that kind of thing. And then I had, in a small bag, I had some napkins, paper towels, which I already mentioned, and, I had all these in a zipper bag. When you're going to tournaments, you're going to have to add to this list, and one of them is food. We always took food with us, even though, many times we played near, places that had fast food. Unless there was like a 2 hour delay in between games, the girls play a lot more games than the boys do. We've played up to 3 games in one day, but fast pitch softball is a very short game. It's like an hour and 15 minutes. So it's a lot different. The boys' games can be 2.5 to 3 hour. So it depends. But we get tired of eating that kind of food. So I would always pack finger foods. One of the things my kids liked is what they called roll-ups, and that is like ham and turkey and a slice of cheddar cheese. And we would just roll those up and then bring bread separately and any condiments that they wanted in little packs. Watery types of fruit like fresh watermelon slices or pineapple slices, citrus fruits, things like that, and then finger foods, things like carrots and celery sticks and peanut butter and things like that. Of course, they like the cookies and the sweets and the chips and things like that, but that needs to be at a minimum, just because it's got a lot of salt and they're getting dehydrated anyway. Some of the kids like the energy drinks. I don't let my kids drink those. They do drink Gatorade only when they're playing sports and any kind of drink like that that has the electrolytes in it to keep them from cramping. And then there's a lot of other things that go along with that. Chairs and stadium chairs. I have to tell you that I searched high and low for years and really couldn't find anything that great. I know there's a lot of specialty stores here that sell them, and they're very expensive. And I actually found our stadium chairs at our local warehouse store. So just look at those and see if you can find them there. I found them for half price, and they're very durable. The other thing I ended up investing in was one of the shade canopies, and I got one on wheels. Again, I waited for a sale and got that at a really good price. And because of us traveling this year and traveling separately, My husband and I weren't always at the same game, and that darn thing is heavy. So I just went up to one of the dads and or moms that were there, and I just said, hey, I've got this canopy, and you know, I'll be happy to set it up over the stadium seats, because a lot of times we would be at these fields that didn't have any cover at all. And you would be amazed. Even the other people that had canopies were helping those that, you know, brought them out. I mean, everybody helped to put them up and take them down. It was awesome. And one of the dads even carried it to and from my car. And so, you know, it was really great to have help for that. Of course, it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. You need some good walking shoes. I used to be a tennis shoe person, and living in Florida so long, I am now a sandal person. I swear by my Teva flip-flops. They mold to my feet. I bought a pair, I want to say something like 20 years ago in the Keys, and they were the best sandals ever, and I've continued to find them at the sporting goods stores here locally. And, you know, try a pair on. They are not ridiculously expensive. And I buy two new pairs every summer that I wear all year long, as long as I can wear that kind of thing. I keep bungee cords in the car and some other things. So anyway, look at the list I have at Podcast 91 on Vintage Homeschool Moms. And I've listed more of these things. And you can just print off the list and use it however you would like. You know, just don't put it on another website. Just let me know if you want to do that. And I'll give you permission. And as always, you can email me at felice@mediaangels.com if you want to get in contact with me. The second thing I want to talk about is rules. First of all, look at the age requirements. It's interesting with sports because different ages qualify for different league age. And so my daughter turns her birthday's in March, but she plays league age 1 year younger because the cutoff for us is, I believe it's September. So you have to look and see what your child's league age is going to be. And I know that a lot of times if boys have late birthdays, both of my sons did, and neither of us decided to hold our kids back a year so that they could play one more year sports. However, a lot of families have done that. Your kids will do better academically for the most part, and they'll be stronger children, obviously, with that extra year. And so you have to look at that. My one son's birthday was in August and my other son's birthday's in July. So that whole year, you know, before they turn that next year, they could actually play, you know, for that year younger. So you have to look at that and make that decision, as a family. And this is the one thing I want to share with you about the rules is that, understanding, you know, the rules of whatever game your child plays does help a lot. Of course, we all sit there at some point, no matter if I was sitting at a basketball game or at a baseball or softball game, and I'll ask, you know, why did they do that? I just don't understand it. And so one of the other parents will explain, or we'll all be puzzled until one of the dads will, you know, get the answer for us at the end of the game. So we don't always understand or know. But it is important to follow a little bit, at least so that we can, you know, understand. But one of the things I love is a sign that I saw posted on the Little League field. And it said, number one, remember these things. Number one, they are just kids. Number two, this is just a game. Number three, the board members and coaches are volunteers. Number four, the umpires are human. And number five, this is not the pros. You know, I think a lot of times parents and coaches forget that. I remember there was a coach 1 year that used to yell at the kids when they were up at bat, and it was two outs, bases loaded. And I remember he'd, you know, scream at the poor kid and say something like, you know, this is it. You know, this is for the World Series. And, if, you know, invariably the kid's going to strike out. And so there's a lot of disappointment on the, you know, the kid and the parents and the coach and the families and, you know, everything. And so, We can't put that kind of pressure on our kids, and we have to understand the nuances of the game. Again, no matter what game your child is playing. I never understood any of this because I didn't play. You know, I didn't play anything other than recreational sports. And my husband explained to me that with baseball, especially with batting, it's a game of relaxation. If you're tensed up, you're going to do everything wrong. You're going to forget. You need to take a deep breath and relax. And as my kids have gotten older, I've watched the kids going up to bat, and a lot of them really understand that. And I can see them, you know, closing their eyes, taking a deep breath, and then going up and getting ready. So whatever that is, you know, understand that. The other is, you know, no matter what game it is, and I know they say this about baseball, and again, I'm sorry if I'm just talking about baseball and softball and your kids play other sports, but that's what I know the best. And one of the things they say about baseball is it's a game of disappointment, that you can be super excited 1 second, and then the next, as Anne of Green Gables would say, you're in the pits of despair. And as I'm recording this, we are all done with sports for the summer, and my daughter was the last one left standing playing, and so they had, it was 2-0, it was in the seventh inning, and she was up at bat, and there was already two outs, and she hit this really strong hit to the corner. It would have been foul. It was foul, but the girl outfield ran and caught it in the corner of the field. Like, it was an unbelievably amazing catch for the other team. And so they came in second in states, and they don't go on to regionals. And last year, they won regionals, and they went to the World Series as a softball little league. So, you know, it is a game of disappointments, and, you know, we have to realize that. Whereas last year at this time, we couldn't even believe we were up for, you know, the regionals and actually won, beating the same exact team, to go to the World Series. So, you know, each year it's going to come with its own sets of, you know, excitement and disappointment. And we have to keep these things in perspective. Again, as that sign said, this isn't the pros. And the kids learn so much from this. They really do. And the third thing I want to talk to you about is good sportsmanship. You know, there is a fine line, and I have already gone over some of this with the rules, between the parents and the coaches and the umpires. And we have to remember quite a few different things, and that is that we, especially if you're a Christian listening to this, we are an example to others who maybe don't know Christ. And so a lot of times when I sit there and I'm watching the kids play, I will sit there and I will be praying for each one of them. I will pray for safety. I will pray that they do well. And I'll just give up, you know, a small little prayer each time. And I feel like, you know, this is something that I can do as I sit back as a spectator. I don't have to, you know, get into the pettiness of some of the parents getting upset, or, you know, the coach making a bad call, or, you know, any of the negativity that I hear a lot of times. You know, as I watch these games, a lot of it, it's almost as if it's God ordained. When I watched this other team play yesterday, they made these unbelievable catches. I mean, unbelievable. Our girls made some really good plays. I mean, it was 2-0, and we had won the previous two games 10-0 in the fourth inning, which meant we 10-run ruled them. So we were done early, and had beat the other two teams, which were good. But not nearly the caliber of this team. This team had won two games previous. They won 8-0 and 6-0, but they had played full seven inning games. And so, you know, they were pretty evenly matched. But one of the things was, you know, it seemed like everything was working out for them. For example, one of our girls hit the ball really hard. The catcher or the pitcher almost caught it. It tipped her glove and it blooped out. And the girl behind her, the shortstop, barehanded it, you know, not even with her glove hand, with her other hand. And she stood there shocked that she caught it. You know, just amazing plays, like the catch that girl made of my daughter's hit. Unbelievably amazing play. So you look at these things and you just say, you know, God is a God of order. You know, he knows what he's doing, and it wasn't our year to go. And so, you know, you look at these things and you say, okay, so I can rant and rave and be upset. You know, some of the parents were upset. The calls, you know, from the umpire, he had a very interesting strike zone. And so, you know, at the very beginning, they were getting all upset on both sides, not just our side, the other. At least he called them pretty fairly. And, you know, all we could do was sit and watch. You know, one of their girls hit a home run. Nothing you can do about that. You know, it was 1-0 for the longest time. And then a sixth inning or something like that, she hit a home run. So, you know, it's a game that we have to teach our kids is going to have ups and downs. And there is good sportsmanship. If a kid strikes out and they throw their bat, you know, they can get evicted from the game. You know, there are some things that you have to be able to, you know, teach your children about self-control. One year, years ago, there was a young boy who was very talented, and he was a pitcher. And he was not having a good day. And he was playing high school ball. So whenever the high schoolers want to play Little League, especially because they want to play in the All-Star games, they have to put in their time. So if they're not practicing or they don't have a game, they can come and play. They don't necessarily have to work out with the team, but they can be on the team. So this young man, you know, was pretty much a little superstar, and he was pitching, and he was having a really bad day that day. So the coach was going out to talk to him to basically take him out, and he got really, really frustrated. And as the coach was walking toward him, and as our catcher took off his helmet and was walking toward him, the kid in frustration threw the ball, and he was aiming for the back net. And, you know, the official standing back there, I don't know what this kid was thinking. Well, anyway, he threw it as hard as he could, and unfortunately, he hit our catcher in the forehead. And the catcher was a really tall kid, and the impact lifted him off his feet, and he fell flat back on the back and hit his head. And he just lay there motionless. And we all sat there in shock, and the mother stood up and screamed, and they called the ambulance, and it was this big fiasco. And obviously this boy got evicted from our team and was no longer allowed to play in the league, period, any longer. And I don't know what they did with him in high school. But the thing is that this child had such a promising career. In one moment of anger, you know, he took it out on everyone around him. He didn't exhibit self-control. It was bad sportsmanship, and he injured a fellow teammate, and he felt horrible for it. The young man who got hit in the head only had a goose egg. He did go to the hospital, did have, you know, CAT scans and everything done, and he was okay. You know, and it was just, you know, a horrible thing. Unfortunately, the family was supposed to go to a wedding, and half the family got to go. The other half, of course, couldn't because of the son. And, you know, it was a terrible thing. And so we don't know what our actions, how they're going to impact others. And it's just a story that I have used year after year after year to remind my children who are all there and witness this. You know, my one son, who is now a coach, was on this kid's team. And so, you know, he got to see this, and he got to see one of his teammates, you know, act like this and act out of self-control. And, you know, he can remind his players now, you know, about this story, and he can tell it. Because that's how we learn. You know, as I get older, I understand more why my dad told us stories. When we would ask him a question, he would answer us in a story. And stories have so much more impact, don't they? You know, instead of just saying to your kids, you know, don't lose your temper when you're playing, we can recount the story of this young man who did lose his temper. He hurt a teammate. He could have injured him much worse than he did hurt him. And thank God he didn't. And also, you know, he found that he could no longer play in this league because of his temper. And so, good sportsmanship is important, you know, and it is pivotal in our children's lives no matter what they're doing. And that's why I've come to understand the importance of playing sports for our children, especially in teaching them so many of the life skills that they have to learn, getting along with other people, getting along with people they don't like, figures of authority, which for homeschool kids, let's face it, it's pretty difficult when your only figure of authority is your mom and dad and maybe your Sunday school teacher or your pastor at church. You know, it's kind of difficult to be under someone else. And so they're having to learn, you know, to listen to others, to get along with other kids, to strive to do their best. And above all, that they need to remember that they are, you know, really an example to other children, especially as Christians, and that they need to remember that as they're continuing on and striving to be the best they can be through the grace of God. Well, next time I am going to talk about being an advocate for your child. And the fourth thing, I remember what it is now, it's about your child's goals as they approach high school and how you can help them with that. And then the fifth one is college recruiting. I knew there were three parts, but I couldn't remember it early in the show. So anyway, I will go over that in the next podcast, 92. But for now, I want to leave you with this thought and prayer. And I just pray that as your child plays sports, that you as a parent can bring the family together, that you can get your schedules under control, and that you can make this the best time and the best memories that you can for your family. Another quick story before I go, I want to share with you that my son played on a travel team 1 year. And in the past, we always took turns. If one was playing, that the other ones didn't, because we didn't want, especially when they were younger, to pull the family apart in so many different ways. So usually it was an older child that got to play. Well, this was my youngest child's turn because Anne was taking a break. She wasn't playing baseball any longer. And at that point, she didn't really want to play softball. So we were giving her a break to figure it out. And, you know, she was 11 or 12 at the time. And so, you know, there wasn't a huge hurry for her to start playing softball, which she amazingly picked up very quickly. There wasn't a huge problem for her when she finally started playing, like we thought there might be. But anyway, this was Mike's turn to play, and he's the youngest. And so he was playing on a team, and there was another little boy who played his same positions, and so Mike wasn't getting to play very much. And I remember one weekend we went away, and so here's where all the costs start racking up. You have to get a hotel room, and you have to pay gas, and then you know, food if you're not bringing sandwiches, which we tend to do. And then we would just go to a hotel that had breakfast and then just eat dinner out. And so we were at this tournament, and I remember the entire tournament, he did not play at all. He didn't go in to run for anyone. He didn't pinch hit. He did nothing. And I watched my son, and I watched him stand at the fence and encourage everyone and be a leader, a beyond leader. In fact, one of the other parents came up to me, of course, expressing his displeasure that my son wasn't playing a position, that one of the coach's kids was playing, blah, blah, blah. And I just didn't say anything. I just kind of smiled because, of course, I was thinking all the same things internally. And, of course, I had already called my husband to express my displeasure on the phone to my husband, who wasn't there, so I could get it off my chest. And then I watched my little son go up to the coach and shake his hand and thank him. And I could see the coach's face, and I could see the coach looking at me with a little bit of guilt in his eyes. But anyway, as we were leaving, I said to my son, you know, I am very proud of you. I am proud of the way that you acted today. I am proud of how well you did. You know, usually if you sit out one game, you play another, especially at this level of play. It's much younger kids. And he was just, you know, he kind of looked at me, he was a little bit sad, and he goes, that's okay, mommy. And I go, well, you know what? I said, we're going to go celebrate. So he and I went to one of his favorite restaurants, which was Cracker Barrel, and we went and had dinner, and we had dessert, and we played checkers, and we had the best time. And that's what he remembers from that tournament, the time that we went and had this celebration. even though we had nothing to celebrate game-wise, we had time together, and that was a celebration. So I want to leave you with that, that even when things don't work out as well as you would like them to work out, that you still use that as a teaching moment as a parent to encourage your children with their character and also to be able to spend that wonderful time with them, creating memories, things that they'll remember for a lifetime. Thanks so much for joining me today. This is Felice Gerwitz again with Vintage Homeschool Moms. You'll find the show notes at episode 91. Thanks so much for listening. God bless, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.